Yetzer, let's begin. We're up to page 268. Okay, we're on page 268. We're up to Pasik Tes Vav. Okay, boys, so the Pasik Tes Vav. I, Alecha, upon you, but Tachti Hashem. Okay, boys, we're learning. Vani Alecha Votachti Hashem. I, upon you, did I put my faith Hashem. Amarti, I said, Elokai Ota. I said, you are my God. I mean, what is this obvious? Self-evident? What exactly over here does this pasuk mean? Pasuk does not mean Mitzudah is David. The Mitzudah is David, Pasuk does David says, Vani Aval, Ani Eftach Hashem. This is a continuation. It's always, you know, it's hard. We learn only a pasuk or two a day. If you took him to go put everything in context. Everything until now, we're describing David HaMelech's danger. I'm in a very dangerous situation. My enemies are conspiring against me. They're speaking evil. They're terrifying me. They have a network everywhere I go. They're trying to kill me. And David says, despite dangers that I find myself in, I put my faith in God. Vani Alecha upon you, Votachti Hashem. Amarti, I said, Elokai Oto, you are my God. Again, one time the Mitzudos. Avol, page 268, on the very bottom. Vani Avol, Ani Eftach Hashem, Pasuk Tes Vav. Pasuk Tes Vav. Va'avol, Ani Eftach Hashem, V'lo Yiram, I'm not afraid of them. Elokai Oto, Va'sa'azreini Mehem, and you will help me from my enemies. Rashi, Pasuk Tes Vav, there is none. Let's look at the Radak. Radak, Va'ani Olecha, V'tachti, Heim Chashu, Lokachas Navshi. Vani Votachti Olecha, Kiamati Lokayota, Klema Atodan Beshefit Alive Loihem. You're my master, not them, nothing to worry about. Okay, does the Malbum say, Vani Hagamsh Ainli Oitshumaki Moshi Olechem Votachti, Amarti Lokayota, Haloyato Aden, Hamashkiach, Alai Umoshia. You're the Mashkiach. You are Kodesh Baruch Hu, you are guarding me. Okay, unfortunately, there's not really much more to elaborate over here. There's a lot of depth here, but on the page, I don't have anything more. What does the Targum say? V'ano al memrach richeitzis, I rely. Hashem amoris, Hashem, I have said, Elokoi ot, you are my God. Okay, let's go for the pasuk design. This is a very beautiful pasuk. This pasuk has enormous depth. Enormous depth. B'yatcha, in your hand, itoy soy. In your hand are my times. Okay? Are my times. Not the New York Times, Chas v'Shalom. We're talking about, I went down to an Oval's house today. A base Oval, my neighbor. And today. Today. What? Yeah. That's why I'm here on time. That's why I came 9:33 today. Square. What?
You have to give that a notice.
Okay. The shiur begins at 9:30. Okay. So I was so surprised. I see there that blue bag. They get the New York Times. There are still people who get the New York Times after all these years.
I get it on the
weekend. Okay. My parents got here for decades. We had the New York Times. Okay. We had the New York Times for decades. But today, I don't know, today it seems like the firm world has really turned. No! No, don't get the FJJ. Many people I know, they don't bring into the house the FJJ. I don't know what they get.
I remember when my Rebbe used to read the New York Times every day, and he would mention something he saw in the Science Times, but he switched to the Wall Street Journal.
I have both.
The Wall Street Journal is not always much better, but any event. Okay, there's a distraction here. Let's go back. In your hands is my times. What does this mean? Okay, let's read the whole pasuk. B'yadcha in your hand, Hashem itosai, hatzileni, save me miyad oivai, from my enemies and mirotvai. Two different types of enemies, an oyev and a roidev. Okay, two different types of enemies. But what's intriguing over here is the beginning of the pasuk. In your hands are my times. So let me start with the vart. I saw in the mamloes. Why is chayim called? Is b'lashon rabim, chayim. Why don't we say life is chay, life? Why do we say life? Why is life expressed? Chayim shel shalom, chayim shel bracha. Why chayim is chay? It's to be alive. And when you add a yud mem to the end of the word, that connotes plural. Chayim, what?
Two worlds.
Two worlds. Okay, Mechol is saying it's Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. Okay, that's one answer. Okay. You want to say the Neshama and the Guf? Okay. These are all very... That Torah is called Chayim. Very good. Taras Chayim. Okay. Yeah, these are all unbelievable answers. I've already read a Sefer, all the Chidush that come forth from the Kollel. Well, there's another thing that I saw in the Olam Lo, is because a person in his life really lives many times. There are many tukufas in a person's life, and you don't have to even do anything. You know, you think back what 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and wow, that was a different world. It's like you really think you're living that was like a different lifetime. If you're old enough, and you look back into your past. Many people from that era are not alive. I cannot look at my bar mitzvah video or the pictures. You know, I can't look at it. I will not open it up. Album. Because everyone, basically, almost everyone in that album is not alive. Okay, almost everyone. My grandparents were, some of them died before I was born, but the grandparents that I had are not there. My parents are not there. People that, like, my father was a rabbi, the Baal Batim of the shul, they're all gone. Kimat, all gone. And other people, and then also, it was even worse, the people that are still alive, and I look at them, and I, oh, wow, this guy had a rough life. And I think about all of the difficulties this person went through with his children, and with his marriage, and with Parnassa, and Tsaris, and Tsaris, and Tsaris. You know what? I'm not opening up this book. I'm not looking at it. I can't. What do I need to go and torture myself to hope to go look at these pictures and look at this book? I like to look at my parents' album because I never knew the people there to begin with. I don't know anyone there. So, it's all like theoretical. It's all theoretical because you're looking at a world and you look at even the people that you do know, they're so young, you don't even recognize them because they were, it's a different, oh, that I don't relate to. It's not my, that I can look at. But my what I can relate to and look at the memories that come and what went on. Every person has that same experience to a degree. You look, a person in his own life, you go through many, many Gilgulim in your own life. And then, even if you don't want to go look at it in that form, a person in his own life has different tukufas. There are times when a person is on the ascent. Things are very good, and very successful, very happy, healthy. And then there are challenging times in life. And people grow from those times, no? And everyone is different. Everyone is different.
That only goes up.
No one has such a thing. No such thing. And a person basically has many tukufos, many itim. And as it says in Koheles, the shira of the itim. It's called a shira. It's very interesting. It's called by Chazal a shira. Eis melchama, eis shalom, eis lachavoyk. Eis lirchoik mechabeg, eis livnois, eis lister, eis rikoid, eis sefoid. There are 25 itim in Sefer Koheles. What do you know?
Well, it has to be an even number.
As to what?
It has to be an even number.
Why?
Because of the...
What did I say? I said eis. I said 24. What did I say?
25.
Oh, I said 25? I don't even know what I'm saying. I thought I said 24.
So
there's a 24, but no, there are 24, 24 etim. No, 28, I'm sorry, 28. 28 etim. There are 28 etim in Sefer Koheles, and they represent tukufas. It doesn't just represent seconds, moment. They're a different tukufa. David HaMelech says to Hashem, Biyadcha in your hand, itoy soy. Are all of the itim, of Sefer Koheles. And David says, although now I'm going through a time of milchama, I'm going from a time where I distance myself from embracing, I'm going now to destroy, I'm going through difficult times, but that's the way life is. And the same way you have the person, he embraces and enjoys the times that he considers to be good. It's a full package. And in the full package includes 28, all different tekufas. And at this moment in time when David's life is in jeopardy, David is on the run, David is not healthy, David is going through difficult, this whole mizmar is dealing with very difficult times. David says something very profound. Listen, I had good times, I will have good times, but right now I'm going through the difficult times, and I have to appreciate biyotcha in your hand, ito soyer, all of the zmanim, all of the tekufos, the eras of my lifetime, they're all in your hand. Excellent. But in that thing by Achashverosh. Even by Achashverosh, the Yodehu Itim, what was good in one generation is not good in another generation. What may have been a good policy during one administration in America is not necessarily a good policy for our administration in this era. And of course, there are laws and there are complicated situations,
Perspective.
Times change. Okay, times change. I told you, not for everyone, I told you that famous story of Chutna. This person told me firsthand. He was a fellow of my father's shul. He was a zaken. He had a very, very difficult life. And he was a very nasty person. And people stayed away from him because he had a big mouth. He was a very nasty person. And Rahman al-Tislan, I don't know if you can blame anyone for anything, but he had a very difficult life. And he told me, he once said to me when I was a little kid, where do you go to yeshiva? No, not even I was so little when he was there. He passed away a long time ago. Where do you go to yeshiva? I said, I go to Chaim Berlin. He says, oh, Chaim Berlin, I went to a Chaim Berlin also. Rav Chutner was my Rebbe. He said to me that he was in Chaim Berlin for high school. And one day, who shows up? Rav Chutner, he was hired. He told me the year. And he told me Rav Chutner was 26 years old. And he was clean shaven, except for a mustache. He had a mustache. He told me he had a big pot belly. Big pot belly. And every day he came in a different color suit. Every day. And he was his Rebbe for 1 year. He came in a one day he came in a green suit. He came in a green suit, came in a white suit, he came in a brown suit. Every day had a different color suit. Clean shaven with a mustache. He was very heavy, pot belly. And he was the Rebbe for the class in Chaim Berlin in high school. And he went on, I never heard him say anything nice, this fellow. And he went on and he said some very, very, very interesting praise. He said to me, I see him right now before me. He says to me, you cannot imagine when he was only 26 years old, he was so dynamic and so penetrating in his ability to communicate with a person. I see him right in front of me right now. And then he told me he left the yeshiva after graduate, after one year, and he never saw Rav Chutner again for decades. I don't know exactly what that means. Many years later, one of his long lost relatives was being honored at a Chaim Berlin dinner. And he comes to the dinner and he sits down, and he had to go only because it was his relative. And he asked to, be nice. And he sees on the dais someone that resembles Rav Chutner, that he remembered when the first year he arrived in Chaim Berlin. And he sees he has a big kapota, frock, and he has a big beard and a big hat. And this guy was a mechutzah. And he says, he goes up to the dais and he says, Rabbi Chutner, is that you? Do you remember me? So Rabbi Chutner says, yeah, I remember you. So he says to him, Rabbi Chutner, what happened to you? I remember you, clean shaven with your mustache and your green suit, your brown suit, your white suit. What happened to you? So he said to him, Irving. Irving. So he said, I'm the same person I was when I was your Rebbe, 30 or whatever number of years ago. Nothing changed. You want to know why I look like this? Times have changed. So because times have changed, I have to dress the part. But I'm the same person. Now I want to submit he wasn't the same person.
I was surprised that Rashi would answer that I'm the same person. It was a very sharp reputation for being
very, very.
I want to hear
You're right. Mark has a point.
This
is what he told me.
That would just make the person.
This is what this fellow told me. This is what he told me. This fellow. Times have changed. Times have changed, and because times have changed, I have to put on a different color, a different jacket. So the truth is, that's exactly what it says over here. Like he said, Bukhari said, Yoidei ho'itim. They know the times. The Chachamim who know the times. And here it says in this pasuk, B'yotcha itoy soy. There's a lot of depth in this. David says to Hashem, Hashem, in life it is expected. It is expected, it is healthy, it is the way of this world for a person to go through, to cycle through different itim in his lifetime. Let's see what it says over here in the Mitzvah of David. The Mitzvah Pasuk says Zion. B'yotcha itoisai, in your hand are my itim, my times. Kol hu itois. She'avru olai, all of the different errors that came upon me, beinu itim l'toiva, beinu itim l'ra'a, ha'loihema b'yadcha v'yalpicha nasu, ha'tzileni na miyad oivai, ki ha'loi ha'kol b'yadcha. Rashi, pasik tezayin, b'yadcha itoisai itim ho'ivrois olai, all of the itim, the different errors of my life which pass over me, al'picha heim uvig zeiroisecha, it is your decree. Okay, let's see over here what it says in the Radak.
By the way, in English biographies very often, it says the life and times of...
Life and times, excellent. So here, Mordechai is saying a very, very good part. When you see when they write a biography, they usually write the life and times. That's a very profound idea, times. Because you can't judge a person on an hour times. I always argue, people, I always say, this bothers me very much. People, they say, oh, that with the Chazon Ish, if the Chazon Ish was alive, what he would have said about smartphones, the Chazon Ish was alive, what he would have said about, what he would have said about the Chinuch today. Excuse me, the Chazon Ish lived in a different world, and there's no question his teachings and his Musa and his Godless is eternal. But it's a different time now. It's a different era. The Nisyonos are very... You don't know what the Chazon Ish would have said. You haven't, and the Chazon Ish was not a product of our times. It's not fair to go and take people from a different generation and put them in a machine and bring them into this generation and then tell us the way things are supposed to be. Obviously, there are certain red lines you don't cross in Halacha and Hashkafa, but when you're dealing with certain issues where it's not clear and it's not a violation of Allah, it's the question of the society we live in today and the nisyonos that we live in today. Excuse me, the life and times. A person is a person based upon his environment, his situation. You can't. They say that in Shemayim, when the person comes to the Bezdin Shalmaila. Who is the Bezdin Shalmaila? Who are Malachim, angels? Who are? So they'll tell me Dayanim, Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua. They're sitting and they're saying that the Amalek says, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, this person, you know what he did? He was texting on his smartphone during Chazaras Hashatz. Moshe and Yeshua and the Shivan Zakenim of the Dor HaMidbar. I think we should give him Gehenim, 12 months of Gehenim for this. Moshe says, what's a smartphone? Is Moshe and the Zakenim going to be the Dayanim? They're the Bezdin Shalmaila? So, listen, no one came back to tell us what goes on. So no one really knows.
That's
but,
why they say by a person being Eliyahu Hanavi's here. Why is take where we think Eliyahu Hanavi's going to answer the question? It's because he's in our times all through the generations. He knows what's going on. Moshe Rabbeinu won't know.
Okay, that's... He does know. I mean, what does it mean Eliyahu comes? Okay.
So Tishbi...
Yitari, it's Rishol Yisrael. That Vard is not a real Vard. That's not a real... Tishbi Yitari, it's Kushis V'Abayis, is something that appears to have very little standing. In what the word teiku means, the real pshat in teiku is let the question stand. We do not want an answer. because the arguments are the two sides are emes. There is truth. You say like this. They are mutually exclusive. Yet, even though they are mutually exclusive to decide an issue, the arguments are emes. And teku, we don't want an answer to this question. We want the question to stand as a question forever. And maybe in this situation we have no choice.
Forever in this life.
In this situation you have no choice, you have to make a decision what to do. And whatever you do will be okay, will be good. But the arguments are solid, and in other applications of halacha, sometimes we will apply this argument, sometimes we'll apply the other argument. This idea, tishvi, we make a Rosh Hashanah, tishvi, yitanitz, kushus, v'abayis, is something you tell to children. Because children are not sophisticated enough to understand the principle that elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. It takes life experience to appreciate that concept. And sometimes there is no answer to a question. And adarabba, the solution is teku. That's the solution to the problem. The problem is let the issue remain the way it is. Not a child doesn't really appreciate that. So to him you say, oh, Leon Avi will come, he'll answer the question later on. It's not so posh.
But it still remains why they pick Leon Avi versus
Tishri. Why did they pick Leon? So you say, because Leon Avi comes around. He's amongst us. He's in this room. He's somewhere. He's hiding in this room. Mayor, do you know who he is? He's hiding in this room. It's like the B'nai Karach. There was a Rav who got up in shul, a Rav, and he had balabatim, and Mamish wanted to kill him. Gave him grois tzaras. So it's Parshas Korach. And he gets up in shul and he says, state in the Torah, in this week's Parsha, Uvenei Korach loy mesu. Rabbi said, where are they? They didn't die, where are they?
Yeah.
They're right here in this room. All of you. So
but
you're saying
really.
Eliyahu HaNavi is amongst us? Okay. But Yoidei Ho'itim, that's a very profound word. Amichal, you got in order to decide, you have to know the itim. You can't just say, listen, this is how we did it last year, this is the way we're going to do it today. No such thing. What worked last year was because you're dealing with different clientele, a different caliber of students, a different time. Times have changed. And now the times demand a different approach. They say that in the world of chinuch, things are changing so quickly. I heard from a mechanic once that it used to be, you know, older mechanic, it used to be that, you know, we would reassess and we would make significant changes in the curriculum, in the seder, in how the day is arranged. You know, once in 10 years, once in 7-8 years, we have to make a small change. Now, we cannot make major changes every other year, every year, every other year. Things in the world have changed, are changing so quickly that the demand to reassess, to recalibrate, is different, is necessary every year. Every year, just because last year we had lunch at 1 o'clock, maybe this year we should have lunch at 12 o'clock, maybe at 2 o'clock. Maybe instead of teaching them Gemara, we should teach them something else. Me, forget about it. That will never change. That's hopeless. So, you have to recalibrate. Yodei Hoitim, David here says powerful words. B'yotcha itoy soy. Let's look at the Radak, page 269. B'yotcha itoy hoitim shachem choshem lulochdeni. V'lokachas, I see, hoitim, the times which are choshem, he's giving life to a zaman to trap me and take me. V'orvim levenavshi. B'yotchaim v'loy b'yodam v'lichuch yitzalim yadim mer'oivai umiratfai. Ho'itim. I don't even know what the Radak is saying. The Radak over here is saying the itim which are choshem. What do you mean the itim? How does he translate the word itim? Not necessarily that he is translating the word itim the same way that we translated it as times. What does the Malbim say? The Malbim over here, does he say in the translation? The Radak.
He says the times when they plotted to capture...
Oh, when the Shehem. Okay, I'm sorry. The subject is Shehem. The times when they, the people, my enemies, thought they're going to trap me. Okay, and in the let's see, you look at the Malbim on the left side. Oh no, it's there is no Ber Hamilos. All right, everyone pretty much on the same page. Therefore, let's see, the Etim, when my enemies thought they thought they're going to trap me and capture me, Biyat Chaim v'lo biyadam. My enemies are in your hand. So he learns the pasuk a little bit differently. During those times in my life, when my enemies thought that they would prevail, they were mistaken, because their every move was dependent upon your hand. They were always puppets in your hands. And if you did not want them to cause me harm, although they made an attempt, they made their best attempt to cause me harm, they were unsuccessful because their every move was subject to your will. Biyad chayim below biyadam. Their move, their actions are in your hands, Hashem, not in their hands. Lefichodiv, now that I acknowledge that a person's actions are dependent upon Hashem's will, I have nothing to worry about. As long as I am righteous and I do the right thing, no one can harm me. And if I do feel that I'm harmed, then I know that it's a gzeira min hashamayim. There's nothing you can do. This is a very profound idea, because this deals with the topic. According to the Radak, the Radak over here is changing, is saying very different than we said before. And he's saying biyotcha means my enemies are in your hands and they do not have the ability to harm me. How do you reconcile this concept with bechira chofshes? Every single person in this world has the ability to make decisions. Hashem put man in this world. It's your choice if you want to pull the trigger. You have in front of you another human being, and this is a very complicated, very big sugya. You have over here a person, and he's holding in his hand a weapon, and he has in front of him an innocent person. He has not committed a crime for which he's deserving, at least that we know of, and yet the person holding the weapon, he has free will to pull the trigger. What do you mean he has free will to pull the trigger? The victim, he didn't do an Avera. If the victim did not do an Avera, he does not deserve to die. How then can he leave this world prematurely? If a person came into this world and he's entitled to live a number of years, and that time has not yet come, how then can it be that another person has free will to eliminate, to take the life of another person? If you believe in the principle of free will, it is a contradiction to the principle of that everything is min hashamayim. That a person's life is your life is in the hands of Hashem. How do you reconcile? How do you reconcile man's free will versus an emunah pshuta that there is schar v'onesh, and a person is not punished for something he does not deserve? This is one of the big what? So this is, you see, you're touching upon big things, and what you're saying is true, and I'm not qualified to delve into these matters, but this is some of the biggest questions in dealing with Judaism, in dealing with reconciling free will versus acknowledging that a person's destiny is in the hands of Hashem, and there is reward and punishment. A person did not do an Avera. Why then does he suffer? Why in the Holocaust did 1.5 million children die? What Avera could a child have done that he deserved to be tortured to death? I mean, put in a cattle car and sent in the freezing cold winter to Auschwitz and be attacked by a dog when he got out of the cattle car, if he even survived the trip, and then be gassed. How do you explain that? Because the Nazis have free will. The Nazis have free will. And yet, this child, he's a tzaddik. How do you reconcile this? This is an impossible question. It's an impossible question. David over here says, my enemies, they have no power to do anything to me. My enemies, if it's not meant to be that I should die, then even though they have all the technology, they have all the power, they will be unsuccessful in snuffing out my life. Because biyadcha, during those times when I thought, not that I thought, during those times when my enemies were empowered and had the ability, the actual ability to pull the trigger, I wasn't afraid, because I acknowledged that they're pulling the trigger, their actions are subject to Hashem's will. And if Hashem does not want them to pull the trigger, they don't have they do not have the power to pull the trigger. What do you mean they don't? There's something called Bechira Chofshis. Okay, so you have indications in Chazal that they do have power. You have indications from Chazal and from Pesukim that they don't have the power. How do you reconcile this? Good question. I certainly don't know the answer. And obviously, everything has to be balanced and weighed. And these are very esoteric concepts. Moshe Rabbeinu, all this really comes back to Moshe Rabbeinu when he said to Hashem, Hareini no es kivodecha. Explain to me, tzaddik v'raloi, explain to me how all of these things work. And Hashem told him, no. V'ro'iso es acharai ufonai lo yeirohu. You will not, even you Moshe, who knew everything, Moshe knew paraduma. Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol Adam, did not know paraduma. Moshe didn't know paraduma. But this, Hashem said to him, you're not going to know. You'll never have an understanding of what this means. What?
I just heard someone just told me that one leader says Korach actually knew.
Knew what? You knew Tadik V'Raloi?
No, Paraduma.
Like Moshe Rabbeinu? Like Moshe Rabbeinu? Korach was a troublemaker. Mary, you hear he's coming to me. Yashav Kareh, we had a whole discussion yesterday. We learned Chumash yesterday. Korach, okay, that's not for now, but Korach was a very complicated person. Okay, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. It could very well be, 100%. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk design. Ha'ira fonecha al avdecha. This is the makor of the pasuk. V'ho'er einenu b'soyrosecha. What does that mean? We say it in davening every single day in Ahad Rabbah. Hashem, v'ho'er einenu. Enlighten us. Enlighten our eyes b'soyrosecha. We say in Simshon, ki v'or ponecha. With the awe of your pardon, Nasat Alonu Hashem Lokim Tarashayim Yavaschesed Utsadak Uvracha. What is the meaning over here? Ho'ira Fonecha Al Avdecha. Shine the light of your pardon upon your servants. Hoshi'eni Vichastecha. Save me with your kindness. Mitzuda Yitzdavu Pasuk Yud Zayin. On the bottom of this page 268. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ho'ira Hareli Ponim Yirois. Show me. So he learns this means smile at me. Countenance. Your countenance should be pleasing. You, when a person, okay, when you look at a person, you're really speaking volumes. The way you appear to a person speaks out. We all know that when you look at someone, the way they look at you, nothing needs to be said. Okay, just. The way you look at someone, are you smiling, your eye movement, you can't fake this. Even if you work for the CIA and they give you training and how to move your eyes, move your nose, the posture, doesn't matter. You cannot hide your true feelings towards another person in the way you present yourself to that individual. And it's a language that is spoken silently between the neshamas. Every person, has a neshama. And when a person looks at another person, the two neshamas are communicating just through sight, just through appearance. The way you look at someone, the other person subconsciously in the neshama is picking up a message. There's a communication. Do I like you? Do I hate you? Do I want something from you? Do I have complaint against you? It's all there, just by looking at another person, without any words whatsoever, and you cannot hide it. No matter how sophisticated you think you are, and you know all the tricks of the trade, and you work, you've been trained by the best of the best, the bottom line is, there is still something that you cannot hide in your presentation to another person. And the Rebbeinu, that's exactly what we ask. Over here, David over here is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not asking for anything from you. I'm just asking for you, when you look at us, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he looks, obviously we don't see Hashem. Hashem is Roye, Ve'ein Nire, but there is an element of the Or Ponech. The Or Ponech is the radiance, which is the closest thing that we can get to seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Or Ponech. Again, the mitzudos harei li panim iwas v'humi derech mashal hanog b'ven adam l'ri'eyu. We are borrowing from the way two people look at each other. David over here is not asking for Hashem for anything. I don't want your money. I don't want covet. I just want you when I say good morning to you, you should look at me in a pleasant way. And that will give me chizuk. That's the key word of this generation. This generation, the top word, chizuk. Chizuk. Everyone's searching the streets for chizuk. Rashi, pasuk, there's no Rashi on this. Okay, let's go, let's move ahead. Pasuk, yudches. Hashem al evosha ki kiro sicha. Do not put me to shame. Ki kiro sicha, because I called out to you. Instead, yevoshu rishoim. Yidmu l'shol, may they be silenced into the grave. Let's see what he says in the Mitzvot first. Mitzvot on page 270, Pasuk Yudches. Ki kir rasicha v'hoil uvuchov atachti meharoy shalo evosh. I should not be put to shame. Yidmu, they should be silenced. Yikarsu, they should be cut off. Loredes, to descend. L'shol, we have before, there's the many words. There's the bar, there's the pit, there's the sha'ol, there is shachas. And generally, the word sha'ol refers to Gehenim. The bar is the grave. The physical grave. Sha'ol is Gehenim. Let my enemies be silenced in Gehenim. Okay, it's interesting. You say that concept that if you say the word Sha'ol is Gehenim, it's very interesting. In Olam Haba, we learn, okay, again, we always give our disclaimer. No one came back to tell us what goes on there. So not blame me, we know anything, because I really dislike when you read some of these books where the people who write, they write with such conviction as if they really know what goes on in the next world. Really? You know what goes on in the next world. You're going to tell me that I'm a Gilgal? It's very distasteful. So my disclaimer, we know nothing. We're just reading words. But it says in Parashas Zot Zabracha, Yehuda, Ato, Yoiducha, Achecha, I forgot the words, Yodov, Vecha, yeah, that was by Yaakov, but this Rabbi Meskis is not here. He's not here. He would cite us chapter verse. But Tamari is here. Tamari knows all the psukim. Tamari knows where's the bracha of Yehuda. Yehuda in Devarim. In Devarim. 33:7. I don't have a chumash over here. Mr. Cohen, you want to get a chumash? 33:7. She knows everything. This girl over here. She memorized the whole Torah. 33:7. Okay. So what does it say over here? Yehuda. Rashi there says that Moshe was mispadel for, was it Yehuda? Or was it Reuven?
Doesn't say by Yaakov that
he's afraid of Moshe. Maybe it's not Yehuda. Maybe it's Reuven. I forgot. Reuven and Shimon, they destroyed Reuven, or I now remember. Thank you. Shimon and Levi, right? Was it? Let's see. Let's go to the videotape. What did she say? She said 33:7? Well, she's pretty good over here. No, she's right. She mamished it. I'm not joking with you. V'zos liYehuda, she's right. 33:7, v'zos liYehuda. Vayoymar, Shema Hashem kol Yehuda v'yelam otiv yenu. She's 100% right. See her? Argument shock, I say, where's the pasuk, the bracha of Yehuda? She says 33:7. Here. 33, Lama Gimel Zion, Vizos Yehuda Vayomar. On the spot. Do you know any Rosh Hashiva that can do that? You know any Rosh Hashiva in the whole world that can do what you just did? On the spot? Isn't it, aren't you spooked out? Okay? We're a very holy person here. I'm not joking. Very holy neshama, Tamari. Shema Hashem called Yehuda Ve'elamot Yehuda Yedavar Allah. What does it say over here in Rashi? Dover Acher. Okay, on Rashi, on this pasuk. Shema Hashem, Kol Yehuda, Kan Ramaz Bracha L'Shimon. Exactly what I wanted to refer to. This bracha that was said to Yehuda alludes to Shimon, because Shimon did not get a bracha. What does it say? Mitoch Berchoy Sof Shel Yehuda. Because in Shittim, what happened in Shittim? By Shimon, and she did with what was it with a Slav? I don't know.
Right.
The Benos Moav. Okay. Right. Now it's not here. It's not here. At least right. It's not here in this pasuk over here. But it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in the Sechta Megillah, and the Gemara says referring to Shimon when Shimon came to the Olam Haba, so they didn't want to let him in. His bones, they did not want to allow him entry into the Bez Din Shomayla. Because who was Mabalba? Was Reuven? Was Reuven? Yeah. So maybe this is not the pasuk that I was referring to, but what I asked for, she told me the right answer. No question about that. But I'm confusing the different stories. But there was a person, whether it was Shimon, whether it was Reuven, when he came into Olam Haba, after he passed away, and he wanted to enter into the Beis Medrash Shel Maila, he was denied entry because of whatever reason. And the people on this world got a message, a telegram from him in Olam Haba that maybe you know someone that you can speak to get me a pass, to get me admitted, from Protexia. To get me into the Beis Medrash Shomailo, the Brisk. I want to get into Brisk. Maybe you know someone. Maybe you know. Mark, maybe you know someone. Does he have Yirashonayim? Maybe you know someone. So they said, so they were Mispala. They were Mispala, and after a lot of hard work, they let him in on one condition. You just sit and say nothing. And then he was very upset, so he sent a message. You know, this is not fair. They don't let me participate. They don't let me go into the shir. Okay, then they let him into the shir, but he did not understand one word. They were misfollow more. Now he began to understand, but was not allowed to speak, to argue, to present his reasoning. And ultimately, after everything was said and done, they were moichel him, and they allowed him to argue, to speak up, to speak. From that Gemara you learn that in the next world there are people who all different types of statuses. And the ultimate status is where you can speak, you can be heard. You're given the opportunity to present your arguments and be heard. That's even a higher level. Mordechai remembers the Gemara goes further. Not only was he given the opportunity to present his arguments, they decided the halacha was like him, whatever that means. Because Torah Labas Shemayim. Anyway, whatever that means. But yes, so you see over here that in the next world, there are people that are given opportunities to participate, but they're not allowed to speak. The highest level is where you can speak and be heard. Now that is true in the Beis Medrash Shel Maila. This is also a conversation that takes place in Gehenna. So the person has to go to Gehenna. Obviously that's not good. But it seems that there's always a parallel. Zeh l'mazeh. In Gehenna, there are different levels. There are seven Madurais Shel Gehenna. Welcome to Gehenna. How may I redirect your call? Please connect me with level 7.
Minus 7.
Okay, -7. Okay? We're sorry. -7, phones are not operational. They have been burnt. It's overheating. They're suffering from overheating down there. In Gehenna, it would appear, Zelu Mazeh, is that there are different levels, and the worst level is William cannot be heard. There's a very great pain in this world where you don't have your voice doesn't count. Okay? It's very frustrating when you cannot be heard. And the same way the Gemara explicitly says that just because you're zoicha to go to Gan Eden, to go to the Beis Medrash Shel Maila, and be nene from the Ziv HaShchina, and be part of the discussion. So at least I'm not suffering, at least I'm there. But listen, who are you? You're a newcomer here. Who do you think you are? You don't get a chance to speak up and give a share. You're allowed to go open up your mouth and argue and speak up. And who's giving the shiur? Who's giving the shiur? You're not giving the shiur. Know your place.
It's interesting that man is characterized position as medaber.
A medaber. Ruach mimalilo. Nefesh chayim. Vahil adam lenefesh chaya. Targum. Leruach mimalilo. A spirit that speaks.
A medaber.
Doimim Sameya Chai Midaber. The highest level is Midaber. Excellent. Midaber. So we have over here, the Gemara explicitly states that the highest level in Shemayim, or at least in the very, is the ability in the next world to speak and be heard. We have a right to assume, like everything else, B'chola Torah Kula, there's a parallel. Ze Luma Ze Boro Elokim. And the same way there's the Beis Medrash Shel Maila, there's Gehenna. And in Gehenna there are different levels of Gehenna. And in some, and there's suffering. And in some levels there is, at least you're heard. At least you can alleviate some of your pain by arguing, defending yourself. But when you can't defend yourself, when you can't be heard and you're tortured, a person who's in a torture chamber and doesn't even have the ability to express himself, I'm in pain, help me, don't do too much, just to be heard or defend yourself, that's the worst. And that's exactly what David curses his enemies. Not only should my enemies go into the shachas, which is a code word for Gehenna, they should be silent in Gehenna. They should be put in level minus 7. Where they don't even have an opportunity to be heard. Level 1 Gehenna is, we're going to torture you. And they whip the person. And then they ask him, tell us now, on a level of 1 to 10, what is your pain level? So when he says it's 10, you know, that's satisfying. Go to a doctor, and they ask you, you're in pain. And they say, what's your level of pain? And you say to the doctor, 11. You know, there's satisfaction in saying 11, because I'm hurt. I offer a person who supposedly will try to heal me, and he first needs to collect information. And when I say to him, he asks me, what's your level of pain on 1 to 10? And you say whatever you say. You know, there's a degree of satisfaction. I'm in pain. I'm suffering. But when I say, my level of pain is 11, my level of pain is 10, it's 7, it's 5, you know, there's satisfaction. Because, okay, I now have that information. Let's see what I can do to help you. Gehenna is rehabilitation. So if you can be heard, that itself alleviates some of the tsar of Gehenna. But if you cannot be heard, you take a patient into the hospital, and the patient, you know, the pain just intensifies. You can't even express what you're going through. And they're just suffering. David is cursing his enemies to such a degree, he says, Yevoshu Rishayim, Yidmu Lishol. They should be silenced in the grave. You'll say Yidmu means to die, and they'll go, that's the simple interpretation. Yidmu, they should be silenced. Lishol means they should be put to death, and they should descend into Gehenna. But on a deeper level, you could say that in Gehenna itself, they should be silenced. And that is an intensification of their pain. Look at the Mitzvah Stav Pasuk Yudches. Yudches, we did it already. Rashi says, Ale Vosha Ki Kerosicha, Achre She Kerosicha, after I've called out to you, Ein Nor She Vosha, it's not proper that I should be embarrassed. I prayed to you, I did mine. Yidmu L'Sh'ol Yishtatku, they should be silenced, V'yeolmu L'Moves, like an Elaim, they shall be silenced, V'yeolmu, they should be, have nothing to say, L'Moves. Rashi doesn't really explain what this means exactly. In Elaim for death, they should be silenced for, what does that mean exactly?
Silence,
whatever it means. Silenced to death, for death. But there is such a principle that if a person, the Sanhedrin, that if a person is, the Beis Din decides that he's guilty. And now they take him out to the Beis Haskilah. The person, the Beis Din paskens guilty, and then the guards take the person to outside of the city, to the place where he's executed. If on the way out to the execution center, someone says, wait a minute, I have an argument. I have a reason why we should not kill him. I have a halachic argument why he's not chayiv misa. So the halacha is you stop the show and you take him back. The Gemara says you have to have, they take talmidei chacham escort the mace. So, you know, if a person says a reason, it's total nonsense. You know, if a person just comes along and says, oh, I have a reason, what's the reason? And he says some crazy nonsense, ridiculous. So the person who's guilty is escorted by talmidei chachamim. And if someone comes running and says, wait, I thought of a reason why we should not kill him, it's immediately presented to the talmidei chachamim who are escorting the mace. And if they think, you know, there's something, a davar sheyesh by mamish, then they stop, take him back to Bezdin. Let the court hear the argument. And then the Gemara says, even if the guilty party, the Baldin himself, says, I have an argument, we also listen. So the person's been taken out to be executed, and the Baldin says, I have a reason why I feel I should not be executed. They take him back. Here it says, these wicked people don't give them a chance. Yidmu. And the Gemara, in fact, if I remember correctly, there is a case. I think a Mesis. I think, if I'm not mistaken, if a person persuades another person to worship Avodah Zarah, a Mesis Sumediach, or Navi Sheker, a Navi Sheker, I don't remember exactly. I remember, vaguely remember, in the Gemara it says there are certain exceptions to this rule. If a person committed a certain type of crime where he persuaded other people to worship idols, or maybe if he's a Navi Sheker and they take him out to his execution after being declared guilty by the court, and then he says, wait, I thought of a reason why I should not be killed. Sorry, buddy, too late. We silence him. That type of person is Yidmu Lamoves. He is silenced. We don't give him an opportunity to present a reason which would delay his execution. So maybe over here, that's also what it means in this case. David said that the people over here who are my enemies, they're such evil people. They're such low lives. Yidmu l'sha'ol, they should be silenced. L'sha'ol, there is no recourse. There are no appeals. So we always like to talk about the concept. A court of appeals. Jewish law is an amazing thing. There is really no such thing. In the Geisha world, there is a court, the whole circuit, the government must be paying billions of dollars for the court of appeals. Just because you're guilty in this country, you can file an appeal. It's not so likely you'll get an appeal, but it can happen. It does happen. And in Jewish law, there's really no such thing.
Jury trials. Okay,
in America also there are jury trials and there's trial by judge. They're different. Mishpat is very complicated. In every country, if you want to know what a country is all about, you study their justice system. The Department of Justice, and Michal in America. They used to be in America, the Department of Justice. They used to be. Chaval, it's very, very scary. It really is. Yidmu l'shol. Let's see what he says over there. Right now, there's a very... Yeah.
There's a missing word here.
Yeah.
The yidmu l'shol. It's not the yidmu l'shol.
To descend.
And they'll end revealed the yidmu l'shol. The
yidmu l'shol. Isn't the word v'yachtu means to descend? No, it says to be silent. Rashi A, yishtekun. That's silence. Yidmu, that's silence.
Yidmu, silence. Yeah.
And then he has another word, lishol.
As in your day,
and the yachat to descend. That's an extra word. Lishol means the grave. He's adding to descend into the grave. So the silencing is before the descent into the grave. Not like what I said originally.
Right.
Now, that the silencing is in this world. In this world is the silencing, and then there is a descent into the grave afterwards. Now, one last thing about this is very important. This is an idea which we have many, many times. Notice over here it says, Hashem Alevosh, I should not be embarrassed. But instead, my enemies should be embarrassed. Okay, what is my inyan shmita etzel harsinah? Just because I am not embarrassed, why is David automatically putting the embarrassment? That's a separate issue. So the answer, this is something we say many, many times, is that, it's a very deep idea, is that every action triggers reward and punishment in this world. The only question is who gets it? Who gets the reward and punishment? Where does it go? Where is it channeled? And we say on the Yom HaNarayim, U'seshuva, U'tzedaka, U'seshuva, U'sefila, U'tzedaka, Ma'avirin es roya ha'gezeira. Why does it say Ma'avirin? It should say Mivatlin. Through teshuva, tefila, and tzedakah, we cancel. These three items cancel the evil decree. Isn't that how we would write it? Is that what we're taught?
That's probably how it's translated.
Cancels the evil decree. Yet, avert is different. You see, yeah. You're already getting into the nitty gritty. Why did it not say mivatlin? It says ma'avirin. So, okay, this is a tough question, and there are different answers. One of the answers, which is a very frightening answer, and is that it's like we always say, it's like you have a laser guided missile, and the laser guided missile in the modern world, they are coordinates that are put into the guidance system. The coordinates are to hit a very specific target. Let's say, for argument's sake, it's going to take 2 minutes, 120 seconds from the time that it's launched to reach its destination. Launch. The clock is ticking. It has its guided, the destination. It's guided. This is a guidance system. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of this 120 after 60 seconds, I change my mind. I don't want to go and blow up this target. I don't want to destroy this target. Excuse me, sir. The missile is on the way. It's going 500 miles an hour. There's no return. We can't stop it. Don't you have a kill switch? You can press a button and it'll just blow up in the air? No, we don't. There is no kill switch on this type of missile. We can't just press a button and the missile blows up in the sky and doesn't anymore. We don't have that. So what are we gonna do? I don't want it to happen. Well, what we can do is we can change the coordinates. That instead of the missile landing over here, we can change the coordinates and it will land over here. Okay, do that. Once a person does an aveira in this world, it's a reality. There's a chilul Hashem. You've caused Hashem tzar. Hashem doesn't have tzar, but you've done something. It's schar v'oinish. This is one of the basic principles of Judaism. The Yud, Gimel, Nidah, Ani Mamins, they're divided into really three other ikarim of the Yud Gimel. And one of the three is schar v'oinish. A person does an avera, it's a reality that a missile is launched. And the coordinates of that missile is you, the Baal Avera. That's the way it goes. There's nothing you can do to stop that from happening. You do an avera, missile is launched. The guidance system, the coordinates are you. It's how long will it take to come to you? Well, it depends on the avera. It depends on many, many variables. It can take 20 years, it can take 5, it can take a day, it can take an hour, a minute. Every situation is different. But the missile has been launched and there is no kill switch. So what could you do? The most you can do is u'seshuva, u'sefila, u'tzedaka, to change the coordinates that it should not come to me. Ma'avirin, the punishment, the missile should go over my head. It should go there. And you know what may happen?
Or go on to someone else.
That's very frightening. You know why that's very frightening? Because Chazal say it's never good for a tzaddik to be the cause of someone else's suffering, even if they deserve it. Why should I be the one who pulls the trigger? They deserve it. A person is chayiv misa. Should I be the one that kills him, executes him? Well, if he did it to me, then sometimes it's not a mitzvah. If you're the one that's a party, you're the witnesses. But generally speaking, lo toiv la tzadik, that someone else, that he should be the cause of someone else's pain, even though that person deserves it. Let Hashem take care of it. It's not my business. So there's a terrible collateral damage that happens in this world. A person does an aveira. The missile has been launched. The coordinates are you. You do teshuvah. If you do a little teshuvah, that's enough to change the coordinates, but you know what's going to happen? That punishment will come upon somebody else. Now, the other person deserves it. Hashem is a tzaddik hu Hashem atzur tamim pa'alo. That person deserves it. But it's on your cheshbon. Because the punishment, this is a Kabbalistic type of ideas. That person did it, but the punishment that is coming to that person, partially, you're the cause. If you do a very, very intense teshuva, then the missile will land in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the desert, in the ocean, and out of space, where no harm done. But there is a pula. So here, you can't ignore. V'avarti b'eretz Mitzrayim, I will pass. Okay. Pesach Hashem ala Pesach. You want to connect it? Could be. You have to analyze how it would fit into that. Someone else. The firstborns. In other words. Now, Mordechai is suggesting this is a very. There's something to this. Is that for every firstborn of the Jews that were not killed, there's a replacement by the Egyptians. Besides the fact that the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed. That's besides the point. The firstborn Egyptians were all killed. But there were firstborns. How many firstborns were there in the Jewish people? 22,300. That's it. It's very strange. It's a small number. Out of 600,000 people, there were only 263. And that there were 20, then you have to add the Levim also. So it's 22,573, exactly, if I'm not mistaken, including the Levim. The Levim had 300 Levim, and there were 273 extra by the Yisraelim, so you add those two numbers together, 300 plus 200, 573, so there were 22,573 firstborns, and they were not killed. And they should have been killed because when the Mashkes has permission, so instead, va'ovar, they pass over. When they pass over, it doesn't mean you get a freebie. It means there's going to be a replacement. And who's the replacement? The Egyptians. So what does that mean exactly? Do they deserve to be punished or not? Well, Hashem does not punish unless they don't deserve it. But the punishment, to a degree, it's attributed to the one that was really supposed to get it. Okay, these are very deep ideas. But the reason why I'm telling you is because over here, every time you have something like this in this pasuk, you always come back to that principle. David says, Hashem al evosha, ki kirasicha. David is saying, in essence, I deserve to be embarrassed. I deserve to be put to shame because of my aveira. What aveira is that referring to? Whatever. That's you want to go to Dov Hasheva. That was later in life. Most of the Farshim learned that this story, this mizma, was composed in the beginning of his life, when he was running away from Shaul before the Mice of Bathsheba. But David over here is saying, over here, obviously the fact that he's being misfalled, Hashem Hashem, he put to shame. Obviously David feels that I deserve to be put to shame. And therefore I have to do teshuvah. So when I do teshuvah, does that cancel the shame? Does it cancel it? Or is it just mavir? It just sends it somewhere else. Send it to my enemies. The shame that was meant for me, bring upon my enemies. Al Evosha. I should not have to suffer the shame. Ki kirasicha. Instead, the shame that has been dispatched from Shemayim, that I should suffer, let that shame envelop my enemies. Yevoshu Rishoim. They deserve it. And I'm very glad it should be called on my name. I'm very glad and I have a lot of satisfaction that my enemies should get the shame that they deserve. They should get the shirt. Let Yidnu Lishol. All right, it's late. We're going to stop over here. we after the break, we'll talk about Rosh Chodesh. But I want to learn about the Yalevi of the Nusach of Yalevi of in Rosh Chodesh.